This episode is powered by Safety FM. Welcome to Safety Talks, a podcast about all things safety, as defined by you, with your host, Steve Sisson, on Safety FM.
This episode of the broadcast and the podcast is brought to you by Safety Focus Moment. They're consultants that want to help you get the safety culture you've been looking for. For more information, go to safetyfocusmoment.com.
All right. Well, welcome to Safety Talks. I am your host, Steve Sisson. Thank you for joining. Today's guest, we have Richard Sardall with Drivers Alert, who is also a fellow podcaster who does the Drivers Alert podcast. Rich, how are you doing today?
Great. Thanks, Steve.
Tell me a little bit about your podcast. What are you doing on there?
Sure. Yeah. So we just finished up our 10th episode here yesterday, I believe. And it's really focused on driving safety. We the company work for Drivers Alert's been around now for 30 years, celebrating its 30-year anniversary this month. And, you know, one of the things that we found really successful was building out a blog and really reaching out and engaging the market with some valuable information that that they could use regarding, you know, raising awareness about distracted driving and things that are really kind of prominent right now in the public eye. And so I thought, okay, well, you know, podcasting seems to be something that's pretty popular, and it's a good way to reach an audience. And so we've tried to focus a lot on distracted driving just because it seems to be a prominent issue and just, you know, over the last several years with the rise in cell phone use in the vehicle. And we got a pretty good guest list now, and it's continuing to grow. And you know, I think in the future, I think what we're going to do is we're going to start bringing in some different aspects of the, you know, the public, police officers, people in government. People have different perspectives on these issues affecting driving safety to give people a more full range of what's going on.
Nice. And you know, being a corporate safety director for many years, I've used Drivers Alert quite a bit. And I can't tell you how many calls we've gotten from the general public, just giving us the general awareness that, you know, they've seen our drivers on their cell phone, or, you know, they're not paying attention to the road. So distracted driving is absolutely a huge issue that needs to be focused on.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, the Drivers Alert got started 30 years ago as one of the pioneers in the How's My Driving decal-based program. So it's kind of one of those original crowdsourcing contests where you're really relying on concerned motorists to spot unsafe driving behaviors, and distracted driving has become so such an epidemic that it is one of our core training courses now that is immediately recommended for assignment when one of those calls comes in and that concerned motorist says they saw somebody driving a truck, for instance, that was on their phone. Then that course now has become integral to that program, so they'll get that training assignment to see if they can't correct that behavior for the future.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about the Drivers Alert program. You get that call, and you know, you talk with your driver, and you guys have the training programs to pretty much back up all of the kind of calls you can get. I wouldn't say all of them, but a very, very large portion of them. And it targets exactly what you need to target.
Oh yeah, no doubt. And the training aspect of it has become so popular that we just about 3 years ago we purchased a small training company and started building that out, and have expanded even beyond the driving market, if you will, into more general workplace safety. Because, you know, we started thinking about just the logic of it, and it's one thing to help correct the unsafe behavior after it happens, but we were thinking, why wait? Let's be more proactive. Let's help raise awareness before these issues become bigger problems.
There's a lot of companies out there that, you know, have a small niche on the market, but Drivers Alert, I can see, in working with you guys directly, you guys are really starting to expand, like you said, into different areas. And I think that's a great way to go, because, you know, it's more beyond safety's more, you know, beyond the driver's piece. The product you guys have lined up and the training you guys have is very, very quality training, which is very nice.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously driving is still a huge part of it. It's the most dangerous thing, as we say. people do. Most of us do it almost every day, if not every day. But the reality is the workplace does have many other hazards too. And the executive team here combined has several decades of training experience. Myself and several others were part of the pioneering crowd, if you will, that saw that evolution of the first the first instances of online training long before you had broadband internet connections, where you were struggling to even find companies that had enough computers to train on, to today where pretty much virtually everyone has that broadband connection. And now you're seeing more video incorporated into the training to make it more engaging, because that's one of the challenges about video-based training or just online training in general, is you're just trying to get people more engaged so they can actually get something out of it, and hopefully that increased awareness will result in lower safety incidents.
Back in the day, you know, if you had a computer training program, it would freeze on you, or you couldn't stream video, and that would also freeze on you, and it really just killed the training. And nowadays, you can do the training on your cell phones, on tablets, pretty much anywhere, which gives a lot of flexibility to the management teams, especially when you have people working remote or over the road trucker drivers who are all over the place, and you can assign training to them. Is that the direction that Drivers Alert's going?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. We just, I think just within the last week, I believe, we officially have converted all of our e-learning now into a mobile player format, which is completely specifically designed and dedicated for the smartphone medium. So it's not repurposed training. It was actually redesigned. All the programming, all the coding, everything is new. So now all of our 150 plus courses, you can take them in whatever method you want, whether it's desktop, whether it's a tablet computer, or if it's on your smartphone. And that, you know, in the early days of e-learning, you would hear people say anytime, anywhere, and that really wasn't true. But now with, of course, the evolution of smartphones, as long as you have a data connection, you can take the training wherever you are.
Yeah, and that's essential in today's workforce. Like I said, especially in the trucking industry, where you've got drivers over the road and, you know, they get a call for a behavior that's identified by a motorist, and you can assign that training right then and there, you know, and give them a time frame to get it done. You know, so that's great that you're moving in that direction, because I think that's where everybody's going.
Yeah, and I think you hear the term micro-learning comes up quite a bit. The trend is really towards shorter pieces of information, on-demand learning that's broken into segments. You know, you want a specific topic to refresh your memory. I like, for instance, pre-trip inspections. If you're in the commercial vehicle space and you want to refresh your memory on what the safety procedures are to check your vehicle before you go out on the road, and that's, you know, just that could be a 2 or 3 minute short video, and that's kind of where I think things are going. People don't want to sit down and spend 30 to 60 minutes going through training if it's not a an OSHA or mandatory requirement. I think that's the path that the learning segment is going, and it really makes sense too. I mean, you want something that's on demand, you want it short, you only want to cover the things that you're interested in covering for that particular moment, and save the others for whenever that situation arises that might call for that specific information.
Yeah, I once worked with a company that anytime there was a safety infraction and they wanted to have retraining, they would put them through a 4-hour course to make sure that they got every bit of training they could. And I'll tell you, sitting there in a training class for 4 hours, one, you're not going to remember hardly anything. And secondly, the one main piece that you needed, that one simple infraction, isn't being addressed thoroughly because it's just pretty topical. And I'm a big proponent of micro learning.
Oh yeah, no, there's no question about it. I think it's pretty widely known now, I think, through research that, you know, most people's attention spans are really only good for about that 20 to 30 minute mark. And then beyond that, you start to see a huge drop off and then just diminishing returns on what people are seeing on screen or hearing in a classroom. So you really have to break that learning up to make it more effective so that you can increase the comprehension and retention of that subject matter.
That's absolutely true. When it comes to Drivers Alert, we know that you're putting out, you're looking at some of the shorter training, and you've changed everything to The online platform where you can do it on your tablets. Is there any other programs that Driver's Alert is looking at?
Yeah, I think you hear quite a bit about excitement around virtual reality, augmented reality, and we've taken a look at that, and I think there are some areas that would see there make sense for application, but we still haven't really seen enough, I guess, interest in it to make it really work. I think there are some applications where virtual reality would make sense, but there's a lot of investment, a lot of time involved, and of course you have hardware associated with that. So we've been looking at it, still in the early stages of kind of doing some research and development, but I think that probably is still a little ways away for our particular market.
You know, I've done a lot of research in these kind of fields when it comes to e-learning and all of that. And, you know, 10 years ago, it was sitting in a simulator was the way to go. And now it is going to go to VR, you know, virtual reality.
Yeah.
And I'm just really excited for what could be. And I haven't seen a lot of what's out there right now for virtual reality, but I'm sure it's going to be pretty intense.
Yeah, I think a lot of, you know, we go to some of these trade shows that are based more on learning and development. And we, of course, see some stuff out there. And I think some of it is just for the sake of using virtual reality, but it hasn't really been applied, I think, in an effective manner. I'm sure it's going to head that way. You're going to see it, but I think you're kind of at the same stage now that you might have been back when CD-ROMs were first developed for training, right before you saw the rise of e-learning. And that is, you know, back then they didn't have computers, and so sometimes you were giving computers to the companies so that they could actually take the training. And now what you're probably seeing is you got the same situation where, sure, you want to offer a virtual reality training experience, but then you're going to have the issue of, well, where's the equipment going to come from? And that might be a cost that's too much to burden, you know, to burden many companies with. And so that's going to be the challenge, is, okay, we've got this great technology, but how are we going to deploy it?
That's funny that you mentioned CD-ROMs. That term has been deleted from my mind. It seems like it's been so long ago. But, you know, it's technology advances so quickly that really CD-ROMs weren't that far ago, weren't that long ago.
Yeah, I know. It really is crazy, because the selling point for CD-ROMs was that rich media experience where you got to see that full video, and people wanted that in the early stages of online training, but you just couldn't get there because you didn't have the infrastructure to deliver it.
Yeah, that's funny how technology changes, and now everybody's got a computer in their pocket.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no question about it.
So how long have you been with Driver's Alert?
So I've been here now for a little over 5 years. So we've had a good chance to see some of the evolution here. Just some of the technology that's been adding. Like I said, the proactive training has really taken off here in the last 3 years since the acquisition of that small e-learning house that we brought and integrated into Driver's Alert. And just getting a chance to see the evolution of the different products. As I mentioned, the How's My Driving program, which is the reason for the start of this company 30 years ago, and then also motor vehicle records that we also assist companies with, because that's a mandatory requirement, of course, if you have commercial driver's license holders in your company. They have to do the reports once a year. And then also, we have the telematics service, which is that, you know, that little device that you plug into your OBD2 port under your steering wheel, and that kind of in that area under the dashboard, and that helps track your vehicle and operational efficiency measures, as well as safety behavior.
Nice. So you guys have a pretty wide selection of safety tools for industry out there.
Yeah, it's a full suite of solutions, and it's all designed to really increase employee awareness. In fact, as we were looking about how to brand the company for the future, we've been using the LMS courses name to cover the training arm of the company. And so we just recently, at the beginning of this year, we brought the two brands together and slightly tweaked the tagline so that into workplace safety and beyond. So our tagline now is increasing employee awareness. And that's really what all the solutions do. I mean, at the most elementary common denominator, it's really designed to get employees to think about what they're doing and think about the ramifications, especially, you know, if someone has been doing something for a long time, they become complacent with that particular task, especially driving. You just have to remind them just how dangerous it is what you're doing, so that you stay on top of it and you're alert and you're very cognizant of the things that you're doing, and make sure that, you know, that will translate over into an improved safety record in the long run.
Yeah, that's the goal, is that improved safety record. And really, it's beyond the safety record itself. It's just the employee safety. I've been involved in too many fatalities where it's, you know, complacency or fatigue or whatever it may be. You know, you just want to see that. I mean, you want to see all the numbers go down, but especially the fatality number go down, because driving is, like you said, one of the most, you know, hazardous things that we can do, especially when it comes to all the distractions.
Yeah, it is, and it's you know, I'm guilty of it too sometimes when I'm in the car, and I just you don't realize just how dangerous just a slight bit of inattention can be. Whether it's, you could just be sitting there daydreaming, for instance. We have a person that we're going to be interviewing here in the next several weeks. He wrote a book about this very concept. I think it's called inattention or inintentional blindness. Forgot exactly how that's termed, but it's basically just daydreaming, where you can literally be looking at something straight ahead of you, and your eyes see it, but your brain doesn't process it. And so it's not just holding a phone. It's not just playing with the radio or, you know, being manually distracted. You can literally be just lost in thought. And you hear people say this many times. They take the same path every day to work, and sometimes you get to work and you don't really even remember how you got there because you're so used to doing it. And that's scary when you think about it. That just means you're on autopilot and you're not really paying attention about what's going on around you. And so it's helpful once in a while to get that reminder just about how dangerous, for instance, the act of driving really is.
Yeah, I was working with public transportation, and they did a study with the FTA on just that simple thing about, just like you said, people driving the same pattern every day and not remembering what they did. And, you know, it's the automatic mode in their brain, and it's not actively engaged, just like you said. And it is scary. And, you know, if we can get drivers to understand when they're in that position, we would be a whole lot safer.
Yeah, we know that even as you increase the number of occupants in a vehicle, we know that the incidence or the likelihood of some type of an event will increase, simply because of that cognitive distraction that takes place in the vehicle. So it doesn't even have to happen through a phone. Just having some kind of engagement and dialogue in the vehicle will mimic that same end result. And, you know, the issue with distracted driving, I mean, the figures that they use today, it's something like, I believe it's 9 people are dying every day in the United States because of distracted driving. But it's likely underreported, simply because two reasons, at least. One is that law enforcement, in most cases, really doesn't have a box, I guess, if you will, or something on their accident form that you can check that says this person was using a phone or they were distracted, something to that nature. The other part is it's really hard to tell. It's hard to speculate on that, because most people are going to say, oh, I wasn't using my phone. I wasn't involved in any kind of distractions. I was just driving, and this person pulled out in front of me, and then, you know, and then we hit each other. So, and then you're running into, of course, these legal issues too about law enforcement having access to your phone records to see if you were using it or using an app at the time of the accident. So you're probably seeing a likely very, very underreported statistic with respect to distracted driving.
Yeah, I've heard that same thing for the last few years as well. How many people are going to admit to the police officer that they were on their phone if it can't be proven because the police officers are just going to write them another ticket in some states.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it seems like Driver's Alert has got a lot going on. So your podcast, I'm just switching directions a little bit, but your podcast is really focused on the defense of driving. And you said you're on 10 episodes now. How often do you put those out?
Yeah, we're looking to do them at least once a week now, starting here next month. We had to work on some technical aspects because ours has a visual component to it. So we do these interviews using Skype, and then we're going to start taking the audio portion and putting them out on specific audio podcast platforms too. But we just thought, because we do have an in-house studio in our headquarters here with a green room and video cameras, that we thought we'd go ahead and put some video component to it. And like I said, we have a backup really on our guest list to get these podcasts out. The good news is we have a good cross section of people, and I think it's resonating very well with the market, simply because we're curating content, we're bringing in experts from different angles to give us interesting perspectives on concepts, like how to tackle the issue of distracted driving, whether it's from the legal angle or from the social angle, which is kind of, really peer pressure, getting people to realize just how selfish and how much you're putting people in danger by using your phone behind the wheel, and trying those different perspectives to raise awareness and get that information out there so people really understand that this is an epidemic and it's serious and we have to do something about it.
Yeah, I like going the different perspectives because you never know what's going to grab someone's attention. If it's having a police officer talk, or if it's having a lawyer talk, or whoever, somehow one of those different perspectives is going to grab their attention, hopefully. And I think that's a great approach.
Yeah, no question about it. We had one young lady who was one of the first episodes, and she had lost her best friend, I believe, just a couple of years after she graduated from college. And he was writing even sadder. I mean, just the context of it was he was in the middle of a cycling charity event where you would travel across the country, and I forget exactly what the charity was for, but somebody was on their phone and fatally ran him over in the middle of a highway somewhere in the United States. And this lady is a part-time musician. She also works in marketing, and she's been inspired to raise awareness through her music. And she was on and just talked about some of the things that she's trying to do to reach out to people through music. And it's sad. I hate having to hear these stories, and sometimes it brings me down when you talk to people like this. But it has to be done, because you have to. Even if you touch one person, you've done some good.
Yeah, and it's never good hearing those stories, but unfortunately we hear them way too often.
Yeah, we really do. There's one police officer I'm trying to get on. He's in Canada. I think he's in the Greater Toronto area, and he's kind of known as the distracted driving cop, if you will, because that's one of the areas that he really focuses on. And I see his posts on Twitter, and it's every hour. He's posting several images of somebody he just pulled over, and these are commercial vehicle operators as well. These are drivers of 18-wheelers. These are drivers of buses. I mean, it's really sad. I think that these are people that they're not just people driving to the grocery store. These are people who are driving for a living, and they're still endangering themselves, property, and other people's lives by doing things such as reading the newspaper or playing with the radio or using their phone. It's just, we got to get this to the point where people realize that this is unacceptable.
Yeah, and we only get to see, as safety people, we only get to see a portion of the distracted drivings, and onboard cameras have really helped a lot with that. And I could tell you I've seen thousands of videos of distracted driving in all forms, and some just so egregious as reading newspapers while driving a public bus. And you have 20, 30 people in the bus, and you're doing something that's endangering everybody. That's not even including the people outside the bus. And it's just it just baffles me.
Yeah, it's hard to understand, and I think there's a psychological aspect to this technology addiction. So I don't know if it's going away anytime soon, as much as I hate to say that. And some people have been so fatalistic, I guess, in their perspective about our ability to stop distracted driving, that they're just hoping that the driverless car comes as soon as possible so we can just eliminate the driving component altogether. And I don't know if that's, you know, can we wait that long? I don't know, but I don't see it changing. I think it seems to be getting more prominent.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we need to keep fighting the battle as much as we can, you know, until the autonomous vehicle comes out. And it's going to be a tough transition, because you're going to have a portion of the motoring public that's going to still be driving their own vehicles, and then a portion that's going to be autonomous. And how is that? That's where I think we're going to really run into some issues.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it's going to bring up many issues that we haven't even thought of yet. There's no question about that. So it's going to be a bumpy road for sure. Sometimes I wonder if today, where we are with distracted driving, was kind of like where we were in the early days of drunk driving, where people thought it was, you know, it was okay if you had a few drinks, you could still drive, and it still was sort of socially acceptable, even though it might have been illegal. And it just took a long time. You had, you know, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. You have all these other organizations that would come out. You would see those public service announcements on TV, and it just takes a long time to change people's opinions and attitudes and approaches to things. And I think, unfortunately, that's kind of where we are right now with distracted driving. And, you know, whether it's distracted driving or even drowsy driving, you look at the research on it, and it really produces slower reaction times than blood alcohol levels of around 0.08 or 0.1. And that's just, it's hard to imagine too. People don't really understand that when they're engaging with an electronic device, or if they haven't slept in 24 hours and they think they can make that drive, that they're operating a vehicle to the equivalent of basically being legally drunk.
Yeah. And I wish we can get that point across and get it to stick. Because that's absolutely correct. You know, taking your eyes off the road or being distracted is an epidemic at this point, and it needs to be something that needs to go away if we can possibly make it. But, you know, I'm not sure if that, like you said, I'm not sure if that's going to be something that just goes away for us.
Yeah, I keep up to date on the legislation that's passing around the country, state by state. They keep getting more strict about what they're including in the distracted driving bills. So many states now are hands-free only. Some still, unfortunately, don't even have any legislation on distracted driving. But even it gets to the point where all 50 states have some complete, or let's say they have a complete ban on distracted driving, it's the fines themselves probably still don't have enough teeth in them. You are seeing some stories, though, in the news where somebody might have killed somebody in a distracted driving incident, and they are starting to see jail time regarding these events. So I think that is starting to open some people's eyes a little bit to realize how serious the offense is. But again, it's a real slow process.
Yeah, it definitely is. Well, Rich, tell us where we can find your podcast.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, you can go to our website at driversalert.com, and you can go to the company section, and right at the top there, it'll say Driving Safety Podcast. And that'll take you to the most recent episodes. And you can go ahead and just scroll through that. And there's a little overview of each one. And they'll tell you a little bit about what it is. And there should be something for everyone with respect to driving safety.
Excellent. Well, Rich, I really appreciate your time today.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. It was a pleasure. I'm glad to get a chance to share this information. It's really important.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you all for listening. This has been Safety Talks, and I'm your host, Steve Sisson. Please join us next time where we talk all things safety. Look for more information on the host services or even more podcasts. Please go to safetyfm.com. Until next time, stay safe, my friends.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
Safety FM.
This episode has been powered by Safety FM.